This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. We're always glad to hear from our radio friends. We've had the privilege of sending out the Word of God since, beginning the 17th day of July, 1924. We've been broadcasting all these many years, always specializing in the gospel of the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. How rich was the Lord Jesus Christ? The cattle on the thousand hills, the gold and the silver were all his. You know, the world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ by right of creation and by right of redemption. If you've read the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, the closing verses there, you'll find out he's worshipped as the creator of all things. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, the closing verses, he is worshipped because he is the redeemer of the lost. He's redeemed them by his blood. He paid a great price for our redemption. And we're not our own, we're bought with a price. Remember what God says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And we're told that wonderful story in Hebrews 2:14-15, that he became a partaker, or was made a partaker of flesh and blood, that he might through death destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now we have a few of our books left, just a few of them, entitled, What It Means to Be a Christian. If you send in too late to get this book, we have many more. We have published more than 150 books. We have 90 different books on hand now, 200,000 or 300,000 copies. We're sending them all over the country, mailing them out every day in the year. And this little book is entitled, What It Means to Be a Christian. In that, we begin by relating the experience of Mr. Dwight Moody. Some years ago, Mr. Moody sat down beside a man who was traveling on the same train. After a short conversation between the two men, Mr. Moody asked the other man a very important question. He said, "How is it with your soul?" To Mr. Moody's question, the man replied, "That is none of your business." Was it any of Mr. Moody's business? He said to the man beside him, "My friend, you are mistaken. That's my principal business." Mr. Moody knew what every Christian should know, that next to the privilege and responsibility of worshiping God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the individual's God-given duty is to tell his fellow men how to be saved for time and eternity. You know, the sum total of man's Christian duty and responsibility and privilege is this, to know God and to make God known. Now, we cannot make God known until first we know him. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. This is life eternal, said Christ, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And remember, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in Matthew 11, we read in the two statements there, right after the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Remember what he said? "No man knoweth the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son shall make him known. No man knoweth the Son except the Father, and to whom the Father shall make known." When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," you remember what Christ said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And you remember what Thomas said. We call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas was just an unbeliever. He didn't believe. They said, "We've seen the Lord in his resurrection body." He said, "If I cannot put my finger into his hands and my hand into his side, I will not believe." And then the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body appeared. And he said he offered to let Thomas come and put his hands in his side and his finger in his wound. And you remember what Thomas said? "My Lord and my God." Now, I presume you know that six or seven times in the Bible, The Lord Jesus Christ is called by the name God. Someone said, because it says in the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Theon, they said, well, Theon means a God. So they say that the Lord Jesus Christ was a created God. Ah, but what about Colossians 1, where it says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, that in all things that He should have the preeminence, for all things were made by Him and for Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the very first verse of the Bible, the first of Genesis, in the beginning Elohim. Elohim is the plural of Eloia. And you'll find down in the 26th verse of the first chapter of Genesis, Elohim said, let us make man in our own image. The great story of the Bible is the story of two men. The first man, the first Adam. The first man of the earth, earthy. The second man, the Lord from heaven, the last Adam. And remember that before the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to become, to tabernacle in our midst and receive flesh and blood, that He might through death destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Before that, remember, He was in the form of God, and all things were made by Him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, long before He became the second man, before He was born of the Virgin Mary, He created Adam in His own divine image and likeness, because He is included in the Elohim of Genesis 1:1 and 1:26. You remember when the Lord, after He was raised from the dead and He met those disciples on the road to Emmaus, He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. And beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the things concerning Himself. Yes, my dear friend, He went right through from Genesis to Malachi, all through the Old Testament, those 39 books. You remember what John the Baptist asked in the seventh, his disciples asked in the seventh of Luke concerning Christ, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Then we read in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So you see, the Bible is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. He that shall come and he that should come. And He did come. He appeared once in the end of the ages. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time apart from sin unto salvation. Now because the first man, Adam, was disobedient unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ had to be obedient unto death. Because the first man, the first Adam, brought the thorns, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross had to wear those thorns. Adam brought the curse. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the curse, for cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The first Adam was driven out of the garden of Eden and had to go out to sweat drops of sweat. The Lord Jesus Christ went into the garden of Gethsemane, and He sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Yes, you remember that Adam hid from God in the garden behind a tree. And when Jesus Christ was dying on the tree, the sun refused to shine, went behind the clouds, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because there the holy, sinless Son of God, who was crowned with a crown of thorns, the emblem of the curse, he wore the thorn. And there he was made sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when you read in the Bible, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Remember, the price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. As Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you know now why Mr. Moody said what he did. When the Lord Jesus appeared to Simon Peter, the fisherman, to bestow his saving grace upon him, the Lord said to Simon and his companion, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And let me say this to you, my dear friend, the greatest business on this earth is preaching the gospel of the grace of God. I was 17 years in business. Just when I reached the height of my business career, I left all, like Matthew one day, and went out. I was in full-time business 1 month, and the next time I was in the full-time ministry. And I've averaged once a day during the last 37 years of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. always exalting and honoring and worshiping, serving and loving and preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I am crucified unto the world. And I have tried to be a fisher of men. Mr. Moody was indeed a fisher of men. Every Christian should be. After the Son of God gave himself a ransom for all on the cross and was raised from the dead, he showed himself alive from the dead by many infallible proofs. Right before the resurrected Christ ascended to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he said to Simon Peter and others, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And remember, there about 50% of the people in the world today have not been evangelized, and a great many who have heard the gospel have rejected and repudiated and will not receive Christ. But still we are to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We are to beseech men and women to be reconciled to God, as we are told in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Peter and the other disciples believed the truth of 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10, that they had turned to God to serve the living and the true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, Jesus who delivered us from the wrath to come. Have you ever read 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10? Refresh yourself. Read it at this time. Because the Apostle Paul also believed this truth, he reminded some of the ruling disciples in Ephesus of his faithfulness as a witness, how he had served the living and the true God. Listen to Paul's testimony in Acts 20, 31. "By the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Both Peter and Paul believed that Jesus Christ suffered the agony of Gethsemane and Calvary to deliver sinners from the wrath to come. There are some people today, they say they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the lake of fire. There's one time you're going to believe in it, my dear friend, and that's 1 minute or less after you get there. And remember, if there isn't an awful place of eternal torment to be saved from, then God murdered His Son on the cross. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ die on that cross? Did God visit His wrath upon Him? Why was it that the Son went behind the clouds when He cried, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But remember the next verse, John 3:17. "God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Yes, the Apostle Paul went out, and he was dead in earnest. He warned the unbelievers of the terrible penalty of unforgiven sins, and when they presented God's sure remedy for any and every kind of sin, they told him that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast as a gift of God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Have you ever read 2 Timothy 1:9? Oh, 1:9 and 10, listen to it. "God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and who has brought life and incorruptibility to light in the gospel. Yes, the blessed Son of God bare our sins in His own body on the tree. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. When He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden, He said, 'If it be possible, let this cup fall.' There wasn't any other way that God could be both just and merciful. God is a holy and a just and a righteous judge, and in order to be a compassionate, merciful, long-suffering Savior, Jesus Christ had to come from heaven. As He said, 'I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.' Paul said the reason why we persuade men, according to 2 Corinthians 5:11, 'Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men.' We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Yes, the sum total of our spiritual responsibility is to know God and to make Him known. "After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews the stumbling block, unto the wisdom of this world its foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God." Yes, there isn't any other way. Paul said, "I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Christ took His place with the human race. In a manger His life began. By virgin birth he lived on earth, the only sinless man. As the Son of God's love, he came from above to die for the human race. On him our sins laid, the ransom price paid. We believe and we're saved by grace. In the Bible we read that man's greatest need is one called the Son of God's love. Before his strange birth in the manger on earth, he was with his Father above. He saw the lost race and left his high place, came down to die on a tree. There peace was made, the ransom price paid. Now God offers eternal life free. If you'd like this message in print, write to Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Send the postage. If you want several of our books, send extra postage. If you want to get the book of charts, the set of charts with explanatory notes and a picture of the whole Bible, just write to Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Please tell others of these broadcasts. So goodbye until we are here with you again.